Good evening. It's good to be here again this evening. What a beautiful day we have had. If you're like me, I love the weekends, and I love the weeks as well. But sometimes thinking about going back to work and thinking about everything that life will throw at us on Monday and during the weeks, and people that might not share the same values as I do, and interacting with people, and Satan, and you know, tugging at us, and going in all kind of different directions, and all kind of distractions about us. It's always good to be together and to encourage one another, and live life with one another. I saw this poem that I like. You know, how am I going to respond to this next week? How again am I going to respond when people hurt me? How am I going to respond when I'm in a rush and I need to be somewhere on time? How am I going to respond when someone speaks unkind words to me? And so this poem, and I'm not sure the author is unknown. Your life is Jesus to someone, though tattered and torn it may be. Though oftentimes weak and unstable, you're all of God someone will see. Your tongue is Jesus to someone, that idle, insensitive word reflects to at least one searching heart an idle, insensitive Lord. Your goals are Jesus to someone. What you put first, they believe, are the goals of God for the Christian. Your life is all they receive. Your faithfulness that Jesus to someone, their judgment how God is true, rests unquestionably in the faithfulness that they see in you day by day. Your love is Jesus to someone, that someone who's seeking to know, that Jesus who followed in God and befriend wherever in life may go. So be aware at least other blasphemy God by what you say or do, for the only Jesus someone may see is the Jesus they see in you. How is your life? How is your spiritual life with the Lord? Just like, you know, any other relationships, I have high and I have even low relationships with my Lord. In like manner, our Christian lives are to be shine upon men. In Matthew 5:16-17, we're supposed to be a positive influence on others around us. Sometimes we speak of the quote-quote secret Christian that someone wrote about, as that's a possibility. And the truth is, unless our lives are reflecting the light of Jesus Christ, we are not living Christian lives at all. If we don't influence the world around us, the world will influence us. We can either be of the Word of God or the world. Either the Word or the world. And that's a choice that we have to make every day. The darkness and the light around us. And, you know, there's other ways that you get spiritually fed. And like I was talking about at the beginning, coming together. And what it's been such a great day to be with you. And especially, I enjoyed the Bible class this morning to listen to Rob present the wonderful lesson. And me and Maria was talking about how much we enjoyed the Bible class this morning. And spending time with family this afternoon, and we were with our small group at 4 o'clock, and just being with other Christians and being encouraged and getting fulfilled. And I sort of think about these solar lights that Maria, you know, she's trying to make me, what do you call it, environment happy or friendly? I'm not that yet. But there's these solar lights that they get powered in the daytime. And then when night comes, they shine and reflect the lights. And that's how Christians, I think, we are. When we get together and when we feed upon the word of the Lord and we come together on Sundays, that we get all this light coming into us, that when we go into the world and the world and darkness come, that we can shine that light of Jesus Christ that lives in us. Because in Ephesians 5:8-9, for were once darkness, but now you are light in the world. Walk as children of light. And this is the message we have heard from him, declared the Lord. God is light. In him there is no darkness. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live in the truth. But if we walk in the light, he is in the light, and we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies from above. We're called to walk in the light. And it's hard when the world can be dark at times. And as I mentioned, we can either choose to live by the word of God or the world, because we are citizens and heirs of God. We are his children. And he just loves us and he lavishes upon so much. I think Rob mentioned this morning when he introduced me. I'm not sure, but most of you know I was a missionary. I grew up in Murfreesboro most of my life, and then when I was 24, 25, I went over to the UK, went for 6 months, stayed for 12 years. And then I came back about 6 or 7 years ago. And during that time, I met my wife there. I went down south, southern England, and me and Maria got married and moved up to Scotland. And we have 2 sons, and they're both here tonight. Carl David was born in Scotland, and Benjamin was born in Newcastle, England. And I might have told this story before, but when we moved back here, they got into a little argument and hit Carl's tooth. It bled. And I was telling Carl that night that, you know, your brother didn't really mean to hurt you. And he probably did. But I told him, yeah, he didn't mean to. And he said, Dad, you know what? I said, what's the problem? He said, I'll tell you what the problem is. I was born in Scotland, and Benjamin was born in England. And those English people are a little bit moodier than the Scots. But both of them have dual citizenships. And so they both have their UK citizenship, and they have their American citizenship. So one can become prime minister, and one can become president of the United States, and I'll be the father of all nations. But it doesn't work that way in God's kingdom. You have to choose one or another. And by the way, I think if this is true and they haven't changed the law, that by the time my grandchildren, Carl and Ben's children, before they turn 21, they have to make a decision, are they going to be British citizens or American citizens? And they'll have to choose. And my wife is British and I'm American, and when we moved back here, I had to give up my residency. When we become children of God, heaven citizens, we give up the world. And we can't, you know, live, you know, life like we used to. We're called to live like him. And just like when we moved back, what is it, 6 or 7 years ago? I can't even remember. We even talked about on the way out here, we can't even remember life in Newcastle. But when we moved back here, you know, it's like, what would you take back, you know, appliance? And her family didn't, you know, understand the currency change, and they wanted to, you know, give us some electronics. And even after we moved here, people will give things, and it will not fit. You know, you can't plug a British toaster into an American socket. It will not work, and vice versa. And that's the same truth. You can't live by the world's standards and try to live as children of God, because the two don't mix. And yet, there's going to be time when we mess up, and in a similar matter, those of us who are Christians have changed kingdom. In the Colossians letter, Paul describes what God has done for us. In Colossians chapter 1:13, he has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. We used to be part of the world's kingdom, and now we are part of God's kingdom. We used to be aliens, as it says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12, and now we are fellow citizens with the saints. And things are very different now. And so, therefore, we try to live in the world, and oftentimes it's very, very hard. And God sits there for us, and he wants us to walk with him. And the race, the Christian race, as I mentioned earlier this morning, is very hard. And as I mentioned to you, sometimes it's easier to even walk in the race. And sometimes we can be so busy running, that we forget to take time and walk with God as we face struggles and temptations in life. And, you know, I joke with Maria, but there is a lot of reference about running and running the race in scriptures. But there's a lot and lots of scriptures that talk about walking with God. Walking's more healthier for your spiritual life than running. It's in the scriptures. No, but seriously, it talks about walking with God, praying with God, seeing things through life with God. And in some sense, I can relate to that, especially because, you know, I joke, but I do run. And when I'm running, all I can concentrate is running. Nothing else can come into my mind. I'm just running. But then when I'm walking, I'm able to pray and talk, you know, and talk to God about things. And God wants us to get to know and have a relationship with Him, and to be real with Him. As Scripture says, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not within us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just, and will forgive us of our sins and purify us from unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make Him out to be a liar, and His word is not in us. Because we all make mistakes. We all sin. We all fall short of the glory of God. You know, I know I do. And we have to look at our hearts, and is our heart right with God? Rob read this verse this morning in Bible class from Psalms 51. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Don't throw me from your presence, and don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore me the joy of your salvation. Uphold me with a willing spirit. You know, is our heart right with God? Is everything about it right? Is there things in our life that we need to work on? Yes, we sin and fall short, but are we working on things? You know, if you think about the house, and I was listening to Teb's lesson that he preached last week, this morning, and I already had this written. I told Maria, you're going to think I'm copying Teb, but you know, he's a pretty good person to copy. So, but to use the analogy of the house, and you know, if you were to ask me right now, is your house clean? I would say, yes, I'm married to Maria. I mean, she keeps everything clean. But if someone was coming over to our house, you know, we want it to be clean. We want it to be spotless. But, you know, the garage might be messy, so we're going to close off the door. Or my office is a mess, and so nobody will go into the office. But, you know, 80% of my house is clean. Well, is that really a clean house? Because with our hearts as Christians, sometimes as Christians, we can make the mistake of saying, yes, I do this for God, I do this for God, I do this. Okay, this could be a little bit better. And as long as you admit it and work on it, there's nothing wrong with that. But sometimes we'll focus on the positive 80% when there's 20% of our heart that is struggling. And we need to work on that, and to create in the pure and clean clean heart. To do whatever it takes to not let the sinful nature take hold. To not to continue on sinning on a particular thing. I didn't say sin because we all sin. But going on and allowing sin and sinning is two different things, isn't it? It's just like, as Christians, I have faith in God that God's going to take care of me. But I need to do things daily, praying to God, reading my scriptures, not getting too busy, even doing church work, that I forget that personal relationship with God. You know, it's just like coming out here this evening and this morning. I have faith in God that He's going to protect me. You know, if somebody breaks into my house, you know, God will take care of me. But you know what? I did lock my door today. And I turned the security system on. But I do have, faith in God. And so it is with our life. What do we do as protection to keep sin out of our life? As it continues to say in scriptures, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life come not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desire passes away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever. And that's a comfortable verse. We need to choose the Lord. I'm sorry, I'm trying to tell a joke, but it's not working. I was about to say, yes, I joked with my son earlier this week. You know, we've seen a modern miracle this week, haven't we? The Braves won twice. three times. But yeah, my family's into baseball. They love sports, and we love baseball. And I think of life sometimes like baseball, that we all get up to bat, and you know, things come after us. The balls fly. I didn't bring a ball, so you're all safe, okay? And, you know, we get up there and we swing. And, you know, and I get up there and I swing and I hit the ball and I go running. I hit the ball for the Lord and I run. Sometimes I get up there and I have a strike. Sometimes I get up there and as much as I want to, I strike out and I fail. And sometimes I get up there and I hit the home run. And that's how the Christian life is. The game come on, we know who's going to win. We know the victory is the Lord. But there are some times, you know, there are going to be hits, there are going to be strikes, there are going to be strikeouts, and there are going to be home runs. But the one thing, every time I get up to bat, what God calls us to be, and my sons gave me this for Father's Day last year, it has Joshua 24:15. For me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. So no matter what comes at us, good, bad, evil, we face it with the Lord, that we walk with the Lord and talk with him. And we choose for ourselves, as it says, but if serving the Lord seem undesirable, then choose for yourself this day whom you will serve. But choose the Lord. For as me and my household, we will serve the Lord. One stumble does not define or break a person. Though you fail, as someone wrote, God loves does not. We face our failures with faith in God's goodness. And like Joshua, when he stood on the side of Jordan, and God could see the upcoming mishap. And still, he tells you what he told Joshua. Arise, go, you and the people, and the land which I am giving you. God's grace is greater than our failures. And he loves us so much. And he reminds us that the step of good men are directed by the Lord. And he delights in the steps that they take. God wants us to do good. And Apostle John writes, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But John continued by reminding us that God has already made provisions for our failure. His love continues constant in spite of what we do. But if anyone does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is atoning sacrifice for our sins, not only for ours, but also the sins of the whole world. And God loves us just as we are. And tonight, if you're not a Christian, or if you are a Christian, and if you're struggling, I know the church is here to help you with your walk with the Lord.